Psalm 48, verse 4 says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask for liberty and power to preach. I pray, oh God, that the Word of God might be quick and powerful this morning, might speak to our hearts, encourage us in these troubling times, dark days. Lord, we believe all of our heart and all of our soul. We look for Jesus any moment. Perhaps today, before this meeting is over, help us to find strength and courage. I pray, use the message to encourage us and strengthen us, that we might keep on keeping on till Jesus does come and take us home to glory. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. What? 43. Did I say 48? Well, that's a scribal error in the inspired text here. 43. It just kind of looks like an 8 from way back here with these bifocals. All right. Psalm 43:8. I am so sorry about that. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." Isaiah 65:14 said, "Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart." Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 said, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." I want to talk to you this morning about joy. And joy in the Lord. I'm getting to be almost middle-aged, I guess. And I have found that things bring joy today that did not necessarily bring joy when I was a young man. And to be quite honest with you, like most of us, we're not too bright when we're young. There's an old German proverb that says, "Too soon we grow old, too late we grow smart." A lot of truth in that. When I was much younger, I was a lot more concerned about fun than I was joy. And I found out, though, from living and from life experience, that joy is a lot more important and a lot more enduring than fun. I've done a lot of things that were fun, and as soon as I quit doing them, the fun was gone. But the things that brought joy in my life 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, still bring joy in my life. Upon every remembrance of a joyous occasion or event, I still find joy. If you got joy over something, if something's happened or you've done something or somebody else has done something for you that brought joy to your heart, you can be riding down the road and think about it, and first thing you know, you're smiling. Or maybe a tear comes to your eye. You're in your car. You're on Interstate 77. You're in the danger zone. I mean, you're literally out there facing death with each passing car. And here you are smiling to yourself. Or maybe giggling. Or maybe you got a little tear in the corner of your eye. Say, why? Yeah, because you got to thinking about something that was a blessing to you and brought joy to your heart. And it still does. That's one of the great things about joy, is you can use it over and over and over again. I saw a thing the other day that a fellow said, a good excuse is one you can use over and over. Well, that's the way joy is. Joy, you can tell the same story 15 times and still get a blessing from it. Amen? But then you got to understand, what are those things that bring joy? How do we make a distinction between what is fun and what's joy? They're almost never the same thing. A lot of it has to do with where your heart's at and what you love. Now, you know, I've got some grandkids. I love them little rascals. They are everyone different. I mean, they're as different as day and night. And I went and played golf with Seth yesterday. And I came home and I was telling the wife about it. And I said, you know, I love that little rascal. Well, the other day I went and had lunch with Kristen. I was talking to the wife on the phone. I said, you know, I said, I love that little heifer. She said, well, you love them all. And, you know, you do. But there's just things that are about them that are different, and you share different things with them, right? But every one of them I can look back, and because I love them, I find joy in those things that we've done together. I played golf with Seth last Saturday. And on the third or fourth hole, he had an eagle. Now, if you don't know anything about golf, on a par five, that means you have to, from the time you hit it till it goes in the cup, you've got five strokes. If you get there and put it in the little hole in five strokes, that's a par. If you do it in four strokes, that's a birdie. If you can do it in three, that's an eagle. There ain't many of these. Got it? On a par four, you would have to do it in two. There really ain't many of those. Seth had an eagle. First one he ever had. I've been playing golf with him since he was seven. He is 14. This is the first eagle he ever had. He's throwing the club. He's jumping up and down. He's ecstatic. He's running over, high-fiving. Boy, we're just having a good old time. And he's just smiling from ear to ear. And every time I think about it, I smile a little too. And I remember how fun it was to watch him get so excited and see what he's on. I'm talking about joy. Those are the kind of things that bring joy. And not always, but most of the time, a lot of the time, our joy is associated with people we like or love. Okay? Now, so I want to talk to you about joy, but I want to talk to you about joy in the Lord. You got to love Him.
Amen.
To have joy in the Lord, you got to love Him. See what that verse said there in Psalm 43, not 48, Psalm 43, verse 4. He said, I will go unto God. And then what did it say? My exceeding joy. I will go unto God, my exceeding. It wasn't, heaven wasn't His great joy. The things of heaven wasn't His great joy. It was God. It was the person that was His great joy. And see, I think sometimes we fall in love with the idea of heaven. We fall in love with the idea of a new body. We fall in love with all kind of ideas and concepts, and those things are good and great, and thank God for them. But we don't spend enough time learning to love the person that gave us all those things. We need to learn to love the Lord. The Lord, the person of the Lord, ought to be our great joy. The Bible said that in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. So I have a list of eight things here that I've made up my mind. I'm going to rejoice in them. I'm going to find joy in them. Because they all depend on God. Now, I'm not in His presence yet, so there's some things we can't do. There's some experiences we can't have. We are limited because we are still mortal. And we are still separated from God in His natural habitat, heaven. But while I'm here, by the grace of God, there's some things about God that I want to find joy in, and I want to rejoice in. And I want to find my joy in the Lord. Number one, I will joy in the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how long y'all been saved. I know when I got saved. I got saved March the 4th. 1972. That's what? 38, almost 39 years, going on 39 years ago. Now, I don't think about past life a lot anymore. There's not much back there to go back and be proud of. There's not much back there that I want to tell anybody. I played golf yesterday, and this fellow we was playing golf with said to Seth, he said, the boy said, you need to listen to your grandpa. He said, he's trying to teach you right. He said, I had on my Navy cap, you know, and he said, I guarantee you there's things about his Navy career he don't want to tell you. I said, that's right, and we're not going to talk about it. Amen. Amen. That's the end of that. I don't talk about them days. I'm not proud of anything about it. I want to talk to my grandson about God and the things of God. Amen. I want him to learn to love the Lord. Amen. I don't want him to just know about the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm not even content for him just to know the Lord. I want him to love Him. I want him to find the joy of his life in the Lord. Anyway, I was talking about the salvation. 38, going on 39 years later, the greatest event that ever happened to me was the day I got saved. Now, the second greatest event was getting married. I'm glad I married the girl I married. I could not possibly have found a better mate for life. She is exactly what I needed. She matches my temperament and personality. There's been a rough spot or two, but she got that straight. And yeah, it's been good. Amen. But by far and away, the greatest thing I ever did was receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I wouldn't swap anything for being saved. I took Kristen to lunch the other day, and we went over to Mary's Cafe, one of the local hot spots. I like local color, you know. When the Friendly Grill was in business, I went to the Friendly. Amen. When Grandma's Kitchen was open down there, I went to Grandma's. And now it's Mary's, even though Mary's a Chinese lady. I'm still going to Mary's. We went down there and had lunch, and her and I talking. And I don't know how the conversation came about, but us grandpas look for every opportunity to talk to our kids, grandkids about the Lord. And she said something about our testimony. And I started telling her, she said something about there was something miraculous about Nana's testimony, the way she got saved. And I'll tell you all that story one of these days. It was incredible. I said, you're absolutely right. And so I got to talking to her for just a couple of 3 minutes about our testimony when I got saved. And I'm sitting there in the restaurant at 12 o'clock, and I got tears running down my face. I got thinking about what I was like and where I was headed and how I was living when God sent old Bill Pace by to visit me, and the Holy Ghost knocked on my door. I'll tell you what, it's miraculous. It's wonderful. I told her, so, you know, I called 38 years in a row, every March the 4th, for 38 years, I picked up my telephone and called William R. Pace down in Meridian, Mississippi, and thanked him for leading me to Jesus Christ. I called him 38 times, and God is my witness, I cry every time I call him. So why? Because the best thing that ever happened to me, I got to know the Lord, and the Lord became mine, and I became His. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to find joy, and I am going to joy in the salvation of God. I'm going to rejoice that God saw fit to save a wretched old sinner like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If that don't excite you, there's something bad wrong with you. You ought to joy in the salvation of Almighty God. Number two. I'm going to joy in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, buddy, but people say, I talked to some fellow, it's been several years ago. He said, well, I ain't never felt the Holy Ghost. I ain't never heard the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't never nudged me. I thought, well, you lost then, son. You lost. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's going to make Himself known. One, when you go to do wrong, He make Himself known. Amen. And when you praise God, He will make Himself known. And when you need guidance, He'll make Himself known. I don't know how in the world you can say you're saved by God's grace and not know who the Holy Ghost is. Because when you got saved, He came in. Amen. And when He came in, the resident wants to be president. Amen. When he came in to dwell, he now does things, and I experience things that I was unaware of and incapable of experiencing before I got saved. How do you know you got saved? Because of what goes on inside my head that did not go on inside my heart and head for 27 long years. 27 years, I just did what I wanted to, and nobody ever rebuked me. Nobody ever told me no. Nobody ever made me feel guilty. I just did what I thought I could do and get away with. And I never had any remorse or second thoughts about it. I'd been saved 30 minutes, I started getting a licking. And now every time I think about doing something bad or being mean to somebody or being a little ugly, here's somebody knocking on my door, making me feel bad about it, making me feel guilty about it, whispering in my ear, "You better not do that. It will be hell to pay if you do that. If you do that, you get a whooping." The Holy Spirit is real. Amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Say, why? Because He's what helps keep you straight. Now, you can override the Holy Ghost and your will triumph, but you do it at your own peril. The best thing you can do is listen to that still small voice that says, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't think like that. Do this. Go here. Hang with these folks. Listen to that voice. Enjoy the blessing of God. But I am glad and I will joy and I will rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His still small voice. Thank God for His leadership. Thank God for His direction. Thank God for His protection. Thank God for His warnings. I don't want to have to face life without the aid and comfort of the Holy Spirit to help me make right decisions and choose right paths for my feet. He said, well, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl, I can do my own. Okay, to each his own. By the grace of God, as much as I can manage, I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to hear that small voice. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to joy in the presence of the Holy Ghost. When trouble comes, when hard times come, I want somebody to whine to. I want somebody to talk to. But better than that, I want somebody that can slip an arm around me and give me comfort. I want somebody that can address issues in my heart and in my life that my wife can't share, that she can't experience. There are places that the human heart can go. There are emotions and fears and apprehensions that we cannot possibly communicate to other people. Yet the Holy Spirit knows them and senses them and can comfort you in the midst of those things. Thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Number three, I will joy in the truth of God's book. Now you know we walk by faith, not by sight. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The just shall live by faith. What a man seeth, why did he yet hope for? But if he seeth it not with patience, you know. I know all them verses. Here's the one thing we've got that we can see and touch. Right. I have never seen God. Never seen Him. I have never heard an audible voice come down from heaven saying anything. Now, I sense and understand and have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but not in a literal sense like I talk to you or see you. But I got that book. I can hold that thing in my hand. I can read its pages. I can understand its commandments. I can appreciate its promises. I can verify its truth. Do you understand what a support that is for faith to lean upon? We have a more sure word of prophecy. God opened His mouth and spoke the word. And some man, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pinned it down exactly as God Almighty wanted it. And He preserved it infallible and inerrant so that here in the last days, toward the end of time, I could know precisely without tradition, without it being modified, without it changing down through the centuries. I have today exactly what God said 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. It has not changed. It's not been altered. Tradition and campfire and telling it from generation to generation hasn't changed anything because God had it settled in heaven and has preserved it exactly as it was done. Men have looked at that book and questioned it and dug into it and tried to disprove it for ever since it was around. People are still trying to find fault with that book, with its science, with its history, with its prediction, and nobody, out of all the billions of men and women that live and all the countless assaults upon that book stands unscathed and unchanged, and nobody has ever disproven one word in that book. If there's anything in this world that you can put your hand on, that you can trust and rely on, it's that Bible. Therefore, I will joy in the truth of God's book. Number four. I will joy in the church of the living God. Now, I don't mean it's fancy buildings and it's great edifices. And I got nothing against some of that stuff. I think the Vatican's a little overdone. But I'm not against people having nice places to worship, comfortable places to worship. But I'm not going to joy in the building. Because the Church of the Living God is not a building. This is a place where the church meets. This is the Church of the Living God. This is the Church of... Here's the Church of the Living God. Okay? I want a joy in the church. I want to find my happiness, my fellowship, my comfort, in the people of God. Amen. I'm going to joy in the church. I like coming down here and hassling little old John. Now, if he gets a little bit bigger and I think he can hurt me, I'll quit and find me somebody else to mess with. But I like coming down here. Now, sister back there on the back came in this morning and she got this big old bag of maters. Maters. M-A-T-E-R-F. Maters. Got it? That's how you spell maters. M-A. That T is a silent T. So we down south, we just quit putting it on there. It's just maters. And she brought them in, set them down back there, and come out of her garden, and she brought them in for the saints of God. Amen. Now that's a blessing. Amen? Every now and then, somebody comes back in there and brings in a squash or a cucumber or a corn or somebody goes by and sees somebody, or one of God's people loans one of their tools to somebody else, and we help each other out. And I like all that stuff. Or we get together and have fellowship and eat food together and talk and fellowship and talk about what our kids are doing, what our grandkids are doing. I like all that stuff. My favorite company is God's people. I don't have much in common with folks that don't go to church. I got nothing to talk to them. I can talk to you about football for about 8 seconds. Because I know the name of two or three teams. That's all I know about them. I don't know who's winning. I don't know who's playing. I don't know who's making how much money. And I don't care. Amen. I can talk to you about basketball less than that. Amen. Only basketball I'm interested in is that basketball down at the Christian school where my grandkids are playing. Now, all of a sudden, it did take on some significance. But outside that, I don't care. That ain't my crowd. All them rock and roll. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he's talking about American Idol. Oh, so American Idol? What is that? And come find it some singing show, talent show, something. I thought, if I was looking for an idol, I could do better than that.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. I like God's people. We can still talk about NASCAR if we have to. We can talk about golf when we have opportunity. But we can talk about the things that matter in life. And we can be concerned about each other. And we can throw in a little word of God every now and then. And we can conduct our lives on biblical principles. Amen? I like God's people. I love the church of the living God. Jesus died for it. That's my crowd. That's my people. I'm in the church. I'm part of the church. And I'm going to rejoice and have joy in the church of the living God. So a preacher, you know, a lot of them Christians, yeah, I know, but a lot of unsaved people are just as sorry, no account. Are all the Christians perfect and all that? No. But we got one thing in common, God. I am a friend of all them that fear Him. Amen. I'm going to rejoice in the church of the living God. Number 4 or 5, wherever I'm at. I will joy in the music of the Most High. Now, I like music. So if I could sing, y'all wouldn't have to worry about special music. I'd be it. I'd sing every service. We got up this morning, going in to brush my teeth, and all of a sudden my wife goes in and turns on the TV set, clicks that My Recordings thing, goes down through the Gaither video things there and finds one where you listen to it a while, pushes that button, and my house is full of good Southern gospel music. Whew. I go in and she's got it on volume level 9. I cranked it up to volume level 22. I got the walls are doing like this. I'm in there brushing my teeth going, Man, it's good stuff. I love that stuff. I went in the living room and put my shoes and socks on. I was watching that thing and I looked at that and here's Glenn Payne, George Jantz, Rusty Goodman, Vestal Goodman, what's that piano player's name? Anthony Berger. The piano player for that had the leukemia, what's his name? Roger, whatever his name was. All these people are dead. They're gone. They're gone to be with Jesus. Well, as far as I know, they're gone to be with Jesus. But boy, that music they're playing and singing, talking about heaven, it still blesses my soul. Amen. I'm sitting there, I'm making little notes and going over my outline, trying to keep all this stuff straight in my head, you know, so I can do it good when I get down here. And I like to work right at the last minute on Sunday morning. I mean, I got it all done. I'm just going over it and getting it just like I want it, fine-tuning it, so I can give this incredible presentation. And all the time, man, that music, hot rock and roll, is going back there in the back. And I'm sitting there at the table trying to read, and I got that foot going like that, boy, and I'm just having a... Hold that finger still. I love that music, don't you? I got one on that record here a couple of weeks ago called Hymns, Volume 1. It's a Gaither video production, but it's got all these old quartets singing all the old church hymns. Now, we don't sing them like that here. We're getting close, but we ain't got there yet. But man, I'll tell you what. Some of them things, I got to listen to it. I'll tell you what, they give you cold chills. If you listen to some of them old hymns and how they brag on Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, but if them things don't stir you, you probably need to get saved. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't like Southern gospel music. We'll pray for you, brother. Something wrong with you. Say, I like that contemporary. Well, to each his own, but all of us spiritual folks like Southern gospel. I wish I could find something really nasty to say about contemporary because I just don't like it. But I can't. You know, if you like it, Listen to it. We'll pray for you because I know you backslid. But but you ought to find you some. I tell you what, I hate contemporary gospel music. I mean, I just do. And I got, and I'm not going into all the reasons, but I don't care for it. I like Southern gospel. Southern gospel, a lot more honky tonk. See, I feel a lot more at home. You got that bass guitar and that honky tonk piano, and that little beat, you know. It's just that's my soul. Anyway, I'm just teasing. I'd rather you listen to that than listen to Merle Haggard. I looked at him one time. His name was as apropos as anybody I've ever known. He looks haggard. That boy look wore out, don't he? I mean, he just looks like he's been run hard and put up wet. Looks like an old wore out drunk to me. Amen. And Tammy Wynette singing. I'm dating myself, ain't I? She dead? Well, she ain't singing nothing no more, bless God. Only thing she ever sung anyway was that D-I-V-O-R-C-E thing. Well, I don't want to talk about divorce. I got married for life. All that country music, all they're talking about is running around on your wife or running around on your husband or getting drunk or... Depressing music. You listen to that stuff about 6-8 hours, you want to stick a gun in your ear. Amen? And you say, well, what about rock? I don't know anything about rock. I never listened to rock. I mean, I don't know anything. The old-timey rock, Creedence Clearwater, that's as close to... Was that rock?
Yeah.
That was rock? But it wasn't hard rock. It's not like Bon Jovi, whoever it is. I don't know anything. I can't bad mouth too much because I don't know anything about it. Because I looked at some of their lyrics and listened to a couple of them sing. I couldn't understand a word they said. I always thought music was supposed to be a blessing. And to be a blessing, I got to understand it. And I never understood none of that stuff. Amen. I want somebody to sing about God. And buddy, I'll listen. I like music that talks about heaven and happiness and God taking care of you and the supernatural and the miraculous things that God does. Let me hear about that. Put that in a song and I'll help you sing it. Number 5, 6, whatever it is. I will joy in the blessings God sends my way. Say, well, I wish God would bless me. Well, I bet He already has. I got a faithful wife that's not only just drop dead gorgeous pretty and smart as a whip, she is faithful and true. That's a blessing. I know some folks that just ain't got that blessing. I'm gonna joy in the Lord for His blessing of the right wife. I'm gonna joy in the blessings of God because He gave me some real friends. Not many. The Lord is tight with friends. We went out with the Steels last Sunday evening at the church and went down to the Wendy's. We spare at no expense when we go out. I had chili and chicken nuggets. We just sat there for about 45 minutes, something like that. We just shot the breeze. We had a good old time. We just talked about youngins and grand youngins and school and church and we talked about some of y'all. No, I'm not. But it was just fun. Just fun. It was a blessing. Y'all ought to go with us sometime on Sunday night. All of y'all are welcome. We don't ever invite anybody. We just... Say, we're going to go get something to eat? Yeah, where do you want to go? And we can't let Nathalia pick because she always wants to go to Mickey D's. Friends that love God are a blessing. To have somebody you can sit down with for an hour and talk. And just talk about family and friends and church and God and nobody's cussing and nobody's hitting on each other and all. What a blessing that is. I'm going to have find joy in the blessings that God sends my way. Like good health. Now, I got to go get a physical this Friday. My wife finally talked me into it. I had one just 24, 25 years ago. I don't like to overdo things. And I'm kind of nervous about it because I ain't been there in a long time. I don't like doctors. Well, it's just kind of spooky. Somebody's going to poke around on you and then tell you stuff about yourself you don't know. You know, I ain't too keen on that. But I'm going to go unless I can find myself a legitimate way not to. I've still got 4 more days to figure out a way to get out of it. Good health's a blessing. Amen. We take it for granted. But it's a blessing. But I'll bet if you got to looking around, you can find where God sent a lot of little old blessings your way. You know, they don't all have to be big. A lot of blessings are little old things. Amen? But if you get to counting them up, there's a whole bunch of them, you find out God's been pretty good to you overall. I'd be real careful about whining about what God ain't done for me. I'm going to joy in the blessings that God sends my way. Church and friends and health and wife and children. You know, I got 6 grandkids. Ain't none of them deformed. None of them got any major health issues that we know anything at all about. They are all bright and pretty and talented. And they're all in church. Man, it could be a lot worse than that. I think that's a blessing. Amen? Amen. I'm going to joy in the blessings that God sends my way. I'll tell you something else. I'm going to joy in the redemption of sinners. I love to see people get saved. I love to see people get saved. I like to see the joy that comes to their face. I knew a lady up in Virginia Beach, and she lived a pretty rough life. She was pretty loose. Matter of fact, she had applied to the Virginia Beach Mafia up there to be a prostitute. And the only reason she didn't is because she had to sleep with all the different races, and she wouldn't do that. So, but she's rough. And she looked rough. And it showed on her face. Sin has a way of showing up. And it'll leave signs where it's been, buddy. And this old girl got saved. I mean, S-A-V-E-D, save, son. And she got a double dosed, as they say down south. That old girl got cleaned up and got in church. Changed the way she is dressing. Put on clothes that covered up her nakedness and clothes you couldn't see through and clothes that didn't reveal. And she cleaned up that dirty mouth of hers and cleaned up her lifestyle. Got in church and fell in love with Jesus. And in a couple of months, it's like her face changed. The fear and the dread and the anxiety and all the things that put wrinkles on us and make our countenance look sad, those things just kind of melted away. And it was like she was a different woman. She had a different physical appearance. I thought, ain't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? God can take somebody like that and change them and make them a brand new creature and give them a new life and give them a new outlook on life and give them a new look. Thank God for His salvation. We ought to rejoice in the redemption of sinners. Going to keep them out of a devil's hell. Now I remember when I was lost. And old Bill Pace come in there quoting that Scofield Bible to me and making me mad. And boy, I hated his guts. I cussed that guy up one side and down the other. You have no idea. I put cussing on him like only a good old sailor could do. And that old boy just kept right on. He had more grace. More grace. And finally one night sitting in my living room, that same old fella that I hated took that same old Scofield Bible and led me to Jesus Christ. Turn my life around. I've been rejoicing in that now for 38 years. And I'm going to tell you, when little old boys like this and girls and folks like you that's been out there in the world, when you get saved, I want to rejoice in it. I want to find joy in the redemption of sinners. I don't want to say, oh, people say, so-and-so got saved last night. Oh, good. No, sir. It's exciting. It's wonderful. You just kept an eternal soul out of an eternal fire. That's worth rejoicing about. That's fine. There ought to be some joy in that. You took a life that was being wasted and maybe a family that was being abused or neglected and turned that husband around, turned that wife around and make them a new creature and they become worthwhile and profitable and they take care of their family and their children. Glory be to God! There ought to be some joy in the redemption of sinners. And last, let me close with this. I will joy in His coming. Every generation, thinks they live in the worst generation it's ever been. And every generation says, if Jesus don't come now, He's going to have to wake somebody, Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize. I've been listening to that for 40 years. All the preachers say it, all the Christians say it. Preacher, I just don't see how it can get any worse without Jesus coming. And I agree with them every time. Because I'll be honest with you, every time I ever heard that, I thought, well, they're right. It ain't never been this bad before. It's more wicked than it's ever been. Here we are in 2010, and it's more wicked than it's ever been. And I've heard people talk about, oh, the government this and the government that. Well, man, look at it today. Every generation said, I just don't see how it can get any more worse. All them politicians corrupt. They're taking away our liberties and all. Man, you think it was bad in the 60s and 70s? How about the 2010s? The President of the United States is a closet Muslim. Amen? And it's getting so blatant that even the liberals on talk television are going to figure it out. Of course, they won't admit it. Well, I've been hearing that all my life. Me too. Let me tell you something. He's coming anyway. And it's closer than it's ever been. Now, I'm a discerner of the signs and the times and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, buddy, I just don't see how it can get much worse. If it gets much worse, we're going to have to wake Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize. Amen? I just don't see how it could be much worse than it is right now. I mean, if God don't come now, He just ain't coming. We do live in a mess. And it's not getting worse a little in time anymore. It's getting worse by leaps and bounds. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. See, the worse don't stay just worse. It gets worser. Until it gets most worse. And Jesus is coming. We got two rays of hope in this old world. One, we can go to be with Jesus either through death or rapture. That's it. But everything we do hinges on being with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I find great joy in the prospect of His return. I heard Jim Vineyard say one time about 25, 30 years ago, he was talking about the rapture and how much he was going to enjoy it. And he was talking about when the rapture took place, you know, a moment in the twinkling of an eye, he said, but he was going to drag his feet. Because there was a fellow he wanted to see. It was evidently somebody he knew and witnessed to and wouldn't get saved. He said, I want to drag my feet. I'm going to put my speed brakes out. He said, because when I go up, said, I want to look down there. And that fellow's going to be sitting out there on that boat of his. In that little old bathing suit of his. Smoking that big old cigar of his. Laid back in his hammock on that boat. Thinking he's got the world by the tail. Said, I want to see him just one more time. He said, I want to drag my feet. He says, I want him to get a glimpse of me. I don't care whether you get a glimpse of me or not, son. I just want to go. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus. and the prospect of His coming brings great joy to my heart. My joy is in Him. Where do you find your joy? It's okay to have joy in your grandkids and your children. It's okay to have joy in some of the things in life. Not everything in the world is wicked and hellish. Almost everything, but not everything. But the greatest joy you'll ever experience will be found in God. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. And we pray, O Lord, that You'd...